The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Certainly does. Settles in your soul. Good morning, Jefferson. We're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today. My two partners in crime are out because they got caught. Terry's a little under the weather today, and Janet is snowed in. So
because of the weather.
Because of the weather, yeah. He's under the weather because of the weather, right. And Janet is snowed in. It's a little icy, so she's going to stay home where it's safe. So I'm going to be flying solo this morning, but not really. I have two great incredible people here that are going to hang out with me, and we're going to talk about all kinds of good stuff happening here in Shasta County. I have this beautiful lady with me. Her name is Lori Jones, and this cranky old cuss, Patrick Jones.
Good morning, Wynn.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, before we get started, I want to announce the fundraiser that we're having next Saturday, Saturday the 15th. It's the Support Your Journalism campaign, and what it is the Mountaintop Media is having a fundraiser, and it's going to be held at the Veterans Hall, or VFW Hall, excuse me, VFW Hall in Anderson at 3210 West Center Street. The doors open at 4, dinner begins at 6, and it's all the usual stuff that happens at our fundraisers. And just come find out what's going on. There's going to be some good information going on there. Each one of the podcasts, they're going to have a little bit of time to talk about what they're going to be doing and how we're going to do it. And we'd love to have you there. You can get your tickets at Jones's Fort, and just go in there and pay up, fill out the paperwork, and we'll be good to go. And $40 per person or $300 per table of 8. So get a bargain there, and you can come check it out and maybe win a gun or two or three. We've had that happen before. So
the more you spend, the more you have the opportunity to win. So we're going to have a lot of great prizes and, of course, firearms, because that's what I've been doing for the last 50 years. So,
and that's what we all do with our fundraisers.
You know, yeah. If I was into tire salesmen, we would try to auction off used tires.
Exactly.
In this case, gun dealer, so guns. And that works well in Shasta County. It might not work well in San Francisco County, but it works well here.
I want to encourage anybody that maybe has a special craft or something also that maybe you can't attend, but you'd like to donate something,
exactly,
you know, to the auction, just drop it off at Jones Fort. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate that. And if you have any questions about that, you can always give us a call at 605-4567, 605-4567 today anyway, and then we can go from there. Let's see. I think that was probably it regarding the fundraiser. Anything else that you guys can think of regarding that? It's the usual routine, right, what we're going to be doing?
Yeah, well, we're going to have great food. John Knight's helping out, and a big shout-out to John for helping put this together. And he's been, you know, footing the bill for this and along with other things. And so he's kind of been the big help behind the scenes, and he's going to be there, you know, and is supporting a lot of different organizations. So this is your last week coming up to be able to get there. So we'd like to have those tables sold. And if you don't want to sponsor a table, it's only $300, you know, at least get a couple tickets.
And you get an exclusive drawing for that
too. There you go. That's right. If you sponsor a table. That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. And you can always just donate if you can't make it that night, and you can drop off a donation as well.
Okay.
You know, so that's another option.
There you go.
Appreciate it.
All right. Okay, now we're on to the topic at hand here. What do you have for us?
Well, last night I turned on the TV, and The Good, Bad, and the Ugly was on, and I thought, you know what, that hits home really good for my early years on the Board of Supervisors. And so You know, I want to tell, this will take a little bit of time, but I want to kind of put a timeline together as to when I got elected and then the chain of events that started happening, things that ultimately leading to Leonard Modi being recalled, to Matt Pontus resigning, Eric Magrini disappearing, and a variety of other things. And so in 2020, I won my primary 42% to 21%, so I beat the incumbent 2-1. And but I didn't get 50%, so we went on to November. And but right there in March in that primary, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors under Chair Rickert at the time, she decided to shut the boardroom down. And so I started attending the meetings only to be held outside, out in front of the admin building at 1450 Court Street.
I remember that. It was kind of hot out there, wasn't it?
Well, March wasn't so hot, but when you got into May, June, and July, and August, and September, it was very hot, smoky, windy, rainy, whatever the conditions were, we were outside. And more people formed, which ultimately led to the effort of the recall and ultimately taking out Leonard Modi.
Right.
But I first got elected. I was elected in that November, and then I took my seat in January of 2021. Now, as a single conservative, I can't do anything, and that board wasn't terribly – it was very liberal. I would say the one exception would be Supervisor Baugh. And so I found some support with Supervisor Baugh, but, again, two to three doesn't quite cut it.
Right.
And the efforts of people here in Shasta County, a great effort to do the recall, and we had a successful recall of Leonard Modi. And that was, you know, that was bigger than what I originally thought it would be. We knew how powerful Leonard was. We just didn't know how so many things were connected in and around him and what he had done with county government. And so by removing him, which most people thought was an impossible task, but we did it. And we had hundreds and hundreds of people, a lot of stay-at-home moms, a great effort to get this guy gone. That was substantial, and that was the first step to unraveling this onion that we later found out went pretty deep. The second step was in April of 2022. I was hand-delivered Matt Pontus's, our CEO at the time, his background information, and found that he was a convicted felon. He had two arrests for thefts and one time grand theft, and he was convicted of a felony, and he did time in jail.
And yet he was our acting CEO.
No, he was the full CEO. He was appointed.
He was full CEO.
And so how did Matt Pontus get in that position? How did he get there when you have a person that has a convicted felony, especially for theft? You're probably not going to be a CEO.
A basic background check would have truly uncovered that. I'm sure it did.
Well, so in this particular case, what happened here was they had tasked Leonard Modi with, you know, when you have when Larry Lees decided, and he's the former manager or the former CEO, when he decided to retire, they tasked Leonard Modi with taking kind of the big pool of applicants down to a smaller pool, and then from there, the full board would be interviewing the smaller panel and going through them one by one. And if you read the Ellis report, part of this and most of this is within the Ellis report that was out there now as public information. It's pretty obvious that Leonard Modi knew that Matt Pontus had a conviction, a felony conviction, but it was also expunged. So Leonard Modi also knew that he did not have to tell the board this, and by law, he does not have to. So I am certain that the board did not know, except for Leonard Modi, that this guy had a major hiccup in his background.
And was that, do you think he found that out prior to him being hired or after he was
hired?
No,
in the process, he found out. So now this guy became his top point, you know, his top pick, if you will, because he could keep this a secret.
Him
and Pontus obviously knew it. And so Pontus is going to be able to do whatever Modi wants. That secret has to be kept quiet.
Right.
Leonard would certainly keep it quiet, and it gave Leonard Modi a lot of extra power.
Absolutely.
Now, in this process, Angela Davis, who was our support services director at the time. And again, this was before my time, but she also was in the running for the CEO position. And she was friends with Eric Magrini, which at the time was the sheriff. Okay. And so she goes over to the sheriff's department and says, I've heard that Pontus might have something in his background, and let's run his background check. So Sheriff Eric Magrini, he asked Captain Kropoller, hey, run this background check here for me. And, you know, Kropoller said, well, what's the case number? And he's like, there is no case number. And he goes, well, I can't do that. That's illegal. And so he showed Magrini how to do it, and Magrini then ran the background, and sure enough, he's a convicted felon. And so at this point, he should have been knocked out of the contest, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's fairly certain that Leonard Modi found out about this, and so he went to Angela Davis and said, you're not going to be picked. We already have our person. I'm going to work hard to get you the position up in Siskiyou County. You're going to dummy down. You're already in the interview process, so you're going to dummy down on that. And then he coached Matt Pontus. So Matt Pontus would be the star through the remaining five or six people, however many they had.
Right.
And in fact, I asked Les Baugh later on afterwards is, you know, what happened to Angela on that? And he said, yeah, she didn't do very good in that interview. And I said, well, did that seem unusual since she'd been a longtime county employee and a department head? And he said, yeah, it was kind of unusual. So he didn't even see the connection there. Mm-hmm. And so now Eric Magrini knows, though. So now Eric's got an ace in the hole.
Yeah.
Angela Davis knows. Mm-hmm. Probably Shelley Forbes, who worked under Angela Davis, knew. So now there was a variety of people that have this secret, and now we'll be able to hold this over Matt whenever they needed something. Okay. And so when I first got elected, I had a sit-down meeting with Matt Pontus. It took about 2 hours. And at the conclusion of that meeting, I knew something was definitely wrong with this individual. And that was the only meeting I had with him for a full year and a half. He never talked to me. And I asked him to keep me well informed. That would be good for my district and good for the county. So I knew something was up, but we did.
What, a year and a half?
A year and a half.
Holy cow.
And, yeah, I didn't even know where his office was. Now, the day that I learned that he was a convicted felon, I called Chair Baugh. I couldn't get a hold of him on that Thursday. I did get a hold of him on that Friday, and I said, I want this on a closed session. I just want to know why the board would pick a convicted felon. That's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. And Les calls me back in an hour, and he says he's got it. He put it on the agenda for the next Tuesday, and he said that Pontus wants to talk to you. And I said, I don't really want to talk to him. This is not about him right now. This is about the board. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, he's going to want to talk to you. So I go down to 1450 Court Street, and I asked John, who works in our office, I said, where's Matt's office? I didn't even know where his office was. So they showed me where his office was. He wasn't there. He was in a meeting. I said, well, go ahead and get him out of that meeting. I needed to. And so I pulled him out of the meeting, and I told him, I said, I just want this on closed session. I'm not going to talk to you about this. I want this on closed session. I want to see why the board would pick. And he goes, let's talk about this. Let's, you know, in essence, let's make a deal, right? Mm-hmm. I would be another person add to that list that would hold on to this secret. And I said no, and I left. And you could see he was visibly upset. And so
was this conversation taking place where everybody could hear it?
No, this was in his office. The door was shut. So
just basically you and him.
Me and him, and that was it. And so I leave there. At least now I knew where his office was, so that was a plus.
Right.
And never been that side of the building before. They very much kept me isolated, and that was the power that Leonard Modi had in that office.
Right.
Leonard, at this point, is gone. Now Matt's there, and we're going to have a closed session as to how he got appointed, how this board did that. Now, a couple days before that Tuesday meeting, I started thinking that, you know, Joe and Mary, they're all going to support this guy, and probably Tim, and maybe even Les for that matter. And once we discuss this in closed session, then I can't talk about it anymore after that. And so I felt it would be best to inform the public on Monday before that meeting as to why I'm having this closed session meeting with mm-hmm. Matt Pontus. So I told David Benda that, you know, I had uncovered that he had a felony conviction, two thefts, a couple years apart, spent time in jail. I just want to know why the board would pick a convicted felon for your CEO. I think that would be very difficult, working with the sheriff's department, the DA's department, probation, to have a convicted felon. I don't hold anything against people that have had felonies and have turned their life around, but when it comes to the CEO position, I think it's inappropriate. But again, this board wasn't told that. Now,
if there was full disclosure, that's one thing, but there wasn't even that.
So most of them denied. They said, oh, yeah, we knew. And it's like, uh-huh. Well, you didn't tell the public, and the public was unaware. And if the public knew that, it might be a very different deal.
Right.
And so as I'm coming in to the board meeting that Tuesday morning, I'm hearing on the radio that Matt Pontus has put out a press release. And he says, I have been, over these last few months, I have been threatened and bullied and blackmailed. And now Supervisor Jones has uncovered, something from my past. And he goes on like that. Now, he didn't say I accused him of blackmail. He just said he was threatened, bullied, and blackmailed. But he kind of insinuated that I did it, which I did not.
Well, in the very next sentence, he uses your name. Like,
right.
So there's a total insinuation. And I don't know if people know, but... So Patrick had something dropped in his lap.
Mm-hmm.
He chose to do the right thing and expose it to the public. And the thing is, I don't know about you, Wynn, but if you're trying to blackmail somebody, don't you covet the information and
yes.
not release it so you can
yes.
threaten them and
right.
say, hey, I've got this on you, I will expose you?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get clear on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and even that morning, Les Baugh come up to me and he goes, that was wrong, you shouldn't have done that. And I said, Les, there's never a reason to not be honest.
Right.
I said, this is the truth. There's never a reason. Well, it almost appeared that Les had already made a deal with Matt already, right? I mean, and it just seemed that way, right? Because he was upset that I got this information out to the public. But it was my only chance to do so, because otherwise then
you had to do it prior versus after,
right.
Because then you would have been in trouble.
Because the information that I received had no attorney-client privilege to
mm-hmm.
it. Now, in closed session, the vote was 4-1. He stays. So he was safe. And I was disappointed with that vote, but the board votes, and that's the way that it is. To my surprise, 2 weeks later, Matt Pontus resigns. So this is act number two mm-hmm. of unpeeling, peeling back this
onion. Yeah.
And now that his secret is no longer a secret, that power structure is gone.
Right.
Those protections that people had were gone.
Mm-hmm.
But before Pontus was gone... and back up a little bit more. Eric Magrini, as sheriff, gets 2 votes and no confidence at the sheriff's department.
Oh, that's right.
And
yeah.
So the both associations vote no confidence. And Matt Pontus, then, under his authority, he appoints Eric Magrini. He says, we did this recruitment, and what do you know? Eric Magrini rose to the top, and now he's assistant CEO, number 2 in the county with a pay raise, a 34% pay raise. And so I went to him.
With a vote of confidence.
Right, 2 votes, so he can't
okay.
run the sheriff's department, but now you're going to put him in the number 2 position at the county right across the street.
And
yeah.
they created that position, didn't they?
Well, we created the position before that because it is something the count of the board felt that would be important, that, you would have a younger person in training that 10 or 15 years down the road, he would be the next CEO or she would be the next CEO.
That makes sense.
Magrini was never going to be the CEO. He was the same age as Pontus. It's not the right person. You could clearly tell this person didn't have that experience,
mm-hmm.
wasn't the right person. Couldn't manage the sheriff's department. What a slap to the sheriff's department to have this guy now go across the street
right.
With a pay raise.
Yeah.
I was very upset with Pontus for picking, Eric Magrini. Now, as we fast forward, as Pontus leaves, then we put in acting CEO Pat Minturn, and I went right to Pat, and I said, Pat, Eric Magrini shouldn't be here. Now, it's your responsibility to remove a person if it's not the right fit, and I would encourage you to do so. And he couldn't do it. He said he just couldn't do it. He was only going to be there for 6 months, and he just didn't have the strength to do it. And I told him, you're the CEO. You're the acting CEO. You wanted the job. It comes with a pay increase, and there are responsibilities. You need to do this. He wouldn't do it. We still hadn't finished our recruitment process yet, so we had another acting CEO, Mary Williams. I went right to Mary and said, Mary, you want to be CEO? You're the acting CEO. Eric Magrini needs to go. He's not the right fit. He had votes of no confidence. He shouldn't be here. She said she couldn't do it. It's not that she didn't want to make waves. And at this point, I was getting upset. I was chair now, and I never had any conversations with Eric Magrini at all. I barely knew was where his office was, to be honest. And so I told Mary Williams, all right, let's put it on the agenda. Let's put the position, because I can't fire the individual. The mm-hmm. CEO could, but I could eliminate the position. We created the position. We can eliminate the position, which in turn would eliminate Eric Magrini. Mm-hmm. And so I put it on the agenda. And I really felt that the position was a good position. That's why I put it there, and, you know, I voted yes the first time around.
Right.
And so when it came up, as I started thinking about it for several days, is that while I have a dislike for the person in that position, we shouldn't get rid of the position. Mm-hmm. It's not the right way to do it.
Right.
And so I voted to save that position. But right about that time, Eric Magrini decides to go out on sick leave. Or some sort of leave. Okay. He uses whatever time he has accrued mm-hmm. to go out. And so he's no longer in the building. Will he come back? We didn't know. There is a process for separation with the county, and it takes about a year. So Eric Magrini used up.
It takes a year to separate?
To separate.
You don't just hand them a pink slip and they walk out the door?
No, there's a process, and we followed the process exactly so that we would keep the county from getting sued. And because these guys are all watching every step to see if they can
the county.
Sue and get a settlement of some sort. And,
right.
and he certainly was, but we did it correctly. He used up about 6 months of whatever time, so he was getting paid for about 6 months. And the next 6 or 7 months through that process of separation, he was not paid. He now is no longer a county employee, and he works for a realtor doing that type of work.
So there were six months where he wasn't getting paid. So how is he still essentially on the payroll?
He's not on the payroll. So for 6 months.
But he's employed still.
He was still an employee, but not getting paid.
Okay, but how does that work? I mean, how is he still an employee if he's not getting
paid?
Well,
your check would come and it would say zero.
Okay. All right.
So, he wasn't performing any duties.
And he still got the benefits of whatever they were for that 6 month period.
Well, for the first 6 months, because he had that accrued.
Attached to his
paycheck.
You know,
and it's sick leave and all that kind of stuff, right? And, but after that, he was not paid.
So that latter 6 months was just a drying up period where it just.
We had a process we had to follow. We did that.
Okay.
So now we have Leonard Modi gone. We have Matt Pontus gone. Mm-hmm. We have Eric Magrini. And then the start of 2023, we have two new conservative board members. Mm-hmm. And so for the first time, probably in decades, we had a solid majority of conservative, like-minded people that would serve Shasta County citizens well. We have a government that fits the community, fits the county.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started seeing people resign mm-hmm. And leave. And and so now we have a new CEO, Dave Rickert, which I really like. We have new county council. In our county council's office, we had, of our eight attorneys, we had four of them resign. and I can tell you these bad actors like Ruben Cruz and Jim Ross were doing bad things behind our back, very bad. And so now we have much better counsel where we're not being lied to or misled, and it'll save the county a lot of time and money.
Are there any penalties with those bad actions by those bad actors?
Well, there should be, but, you know, I'm just happy that they're gone at this point. And we have a new health officer in James Moo, and mm-hmm. that's going to be awesome. We have a new support services director, Monica Fugit. She's doing great. We have new health and human services director. I'm so glad to see Donnell resign.
Right.
And Laura Birch, Christy Coleman doing a great job there. My only real disappointment in all these changes that occurred under this time period was the appointment of the ROB, which is Tom Toller. He has turned out to be a huge disappointment.
Okay, well, hey, let's hold on to that, and we'll come back to that one, and we'll talk, because that one's going to take some time.
Yeah.
So let's go off to our break, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes. All right, time has come for 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Don't try and take my guns away. You'll wish you hadn't, you'll be sorry. The worst mistake you'll ever make. Don't try and take my guns away.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Since 1938, Jack's Grill has served hungry appetites fabulous steaks. Four tender filet mignon, juicy New York steak or brochet of beef, all cooked to perfection and so tender you can cut it with a smile. Maybe you prefer deep fried prawns or southern fried chicken, all served with garlic bread, hot baked potato or french fries in a large family style bowl of tossed green salad with a homemade dressing of your choice. Whatever you're in the mood for, meet friends and family at Jack's Grill, open Monday through Saturday.
A Redding landmark for over 80 years in their historical location on California Street in downtown Reading.
Support real journalism. Mountaintop Media is getting the truth out in Shasta County. Come join us for a fantastic fundraising dinner and live auction Saturday, February 15th at the Anderson VFW. Tickets are just $40 or a table of eight for $300. Tickets are available at Jones Fort, Northern Roots, or you can call 530-638-4150. 530-638-4150. 4150. Mountaintop Media, getting the truth out.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. We'd just like to thank Redding Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hey, hey, hey. Good luck trying to take my guns away. Yeah. I know my Second Amendment right, and I'm not afraid to fight, and I don't care what the government says. Hey, hey, hey. Yeah.
Draped up in camo, stocked up with ammo,
and y'all better get out my way. I know my Second Amendment right, and I'm not afraid to fight,
and I don't care what the government says. Draped up in camo, stocked up with ammo,
and y'all better get out my way. I know my Second Amendment right, and I'm not afraid to fight,
and I don't care what the government says.
In God we trust, not the ways of man. These guns are mine, it's time to make a stand. Click, clack, that's the sound of war. Freedom is the dream we all keep fighting for. We live in a world where murderers run amok, terrorists kill for the hell of it.
All right. Got to save that Second Amendment there. What do you think, Patrick?
Well, you know,
is it worth saving?
Well, you know, I grew up in a gun shop right here in Shasta County, and so my whole entire life, over 50 years, I've been working in a gun shop, and I've been a gun show producer. I've helped all kinds of gun organizations raise money. I'm working on building a shooting range almost as we speak, and so you know, that's just been the life for me,
right?
And you know, and you know, local politics are important. Mm-hmm. And you know, just with regards to the Second Amendment, while we made some changes at the board, we were able to do some things with the Second Amendment. First of all, we passed a Second Amendment resolution, which they said would never pass here, and it, of course, we got it passed.
Right.
We passed local ordinances that allow, if you're a holder of a CCW, to carry on county property.
Mm-hmm.
We found a loophole within the law when they passed that assembly bill last year. And so So we also have a policy that allows our county employees to carry, and they're working on that right now. And that needs a good kick in the pants, which we'll be working on more. But in Shasta County, we believe, you know, in the Second Amendment,
right.
The plain text of the words, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, it's very clear.
Very clear.
We have been infringed upon. We have been more infringed upon just on the Second Amendment than what our forefathers had to deal with. And they knew the importance of the Second Amendment and what it meant. And it's about when you have a tyrannical government that you have the power to do something about it.
To defend yourself.
You know, it's not about hunting. It's not about, you know, necessarily personal defense. All those are good things. It's about making sure your government fears the people.
That's
the people
way it should be.
Should not fear the government.
That's right.
And firearms does that.
Great equalizer.
And so we're in a constant fight in California because, you know, it's a very liberal state. And it's why I believe, you know, if we could separate, so many rights would be restored.
When we separate. It's not if, it's when. And that's going to be happening. We know that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's super important. Now, the liberals love this state. They don't want it split. Right. They want it exactly the way that it is, and they like liberal policies. And at the county, you know, I've been really proud over the last 2 years with a good solid board. And we had, you know, we had two dead weights on our board, which was Mary Rickert and Tim Garmin. Tim turned out to also be a mistake. We helped get him in that position. And then in late 2022, he changed. And I've seen this before at Reading City Council when I was there for 8 years. And unfortunately, you have no integrity when you do that.
That's right.
And people will forever remember that.
Absolutely.
And you know, if you can live with that, that's fine. I wouldn't be able to live with that. You should be who you are from the very beginning. And, you know, when I first got elected to Reading City Council back in 06, they sent me down to the League of California Cities down in Sacramento when we went to a conference. Yeah, it was my first and only. We are in a room with 500 new council members and mayors, and this guy gave a speech, and he said, you know, in my hometown, we had this guy he ran, and he had this very important issue that was important in the community, and he won. And then when he was seated, you know, he learned that maybe that wasn't the right approach on that, so he turned 180 degrees on that issue. And we're so proud of him for doing that, and everybody's all clapping, and I go, oh, no, wait a second here. He ran on this issue. He told you what he was going to do, and then he gets there and he does something completely opposite. That is not what we clap for. That is the opposite. That's what we see all the time. You tell people you're going to do it, you're going to do it. You're going to stick to what you believe in, and then you're going to carry it out, and you're going to fight until you get it done.
Instead of pulling the old bait and switch.
Instead, you change. And so I never went back to any of those because they try to indoctrinate you into that type of thinking, and I didn't want anything to do about it. So very proud with the work that we're doing, the current board, Chair Cry, Supervisor Kelstrom, Corky, Supervisor Harmon is coming on strong right now, and he's learning. You know, he is not your typical government bureaucrat, nor was Supervisor Kelstrom or Supervisor Cry.
Right.
And everybody learns as we get to these positions. For me, I had a little more experience, 8 years at City Hall.
Right.
That kind of prepared me for this. And like I say, my only real disappointment is the appointment of the ROB, Tom Toller. And I wasn't upset at the time because I thought that he would do a good job. And so I thought my appointment of him was appropriate. And then within a few weeks, I could see that he was starting to shift from what he said he would do.
Okay, well, so his name was thrown in the hat by another board member, and then the three of you guys had to vote on it to get him in there. That's correct,
well,
right?
Well, actually, I started having meetings with Tom a month or so before. Before even I had any idea that Clint Curtis wanted this position.
Oh, okay.
Or Tina Peters or other people that all had thoughts about this position.
Right.
And so I had meetings with Tom, and I knew Tom before a little bit. From a possible running for the DA position, you know, back in 2022.
Oh, okay.
His health concerns kept him from doing that. And so we had meetings, and so we talked about transparency. And one thing that he promised that he would do is he would have the most transparent election in Shasta County's history. country. And that is furthest from what happened. In fact, it was just the opposite.
He said he would have the most transparent.
The most transparent election in Shasta County's history.
Clearly that did not happen.
And we talked about meaningful observation. We talked about not alienating the public and treating us like, you know, adversarial people.
Right.
We want to observe. We want to see marks on the ballots. That's our duty to observe. And he just failed at every possible step. In fact, he went one step further. When I went down on election day, and then I went back probably six times just to observe. Mm-hmm. I didn't say anything to anybody. I'm just simply watching, looking, and I'm seeing problems. I'm seeing things, and I'm looking. Just the mere fact that Supervisor Cry was observing and I was observing, he called California Department of Justice on us.
Wait. Two sitting supervisors were observing, and he called DOJ?
Correct. His staff said they felt threatened, and so he called California Department of Justice. Those individuals, they wear white shirts. You can kind of spot them. They went
like
to
Men in Black or something?
Yeah, and they went to election workers' homes in the evening, and they asked specifically about me and Kevin. Did we try to intimidate you?
The county employees.
Yes.
They went to the county employees' homes?
Correct.
In the evening. And asked them about you guys?
Correct. Because if we did, in fact, attempt to intimidate, that's illegal. That's a violation of law. We could be arrested for that. That's what Tom Tollard did to two sitting supervisors. Totally disrespectful.
Wow, what a piece of
We're
work.
There observing, watching.
Yeah.
Tom Tollard is breaking election code laws. DOJ should have been called on him for not following the law. And he knew the law. It wasn't that he didn't know. He was familiar with it. We had many talks about having meaningful observation. You can't have ladies, for example, down in the break room handling ballots, marking on ballots, and not allowing observation. They wouldn't allow observation in that room. That's an election code violation. Tom knew it. I asked him about it during this time, and he wasn't solving the questions. He was simply letting the current staff, which had been trained by Kathy Allen, in these manners, and they're not allowing the public. When you go into that building, you could feel the animosity. You can just feel it because of how they were taught. And that needs to change, and it's going to change. It's just not going to be with Tom Tollard. I do believe Tom's health is going to be an issue. I do not believe he'll run this next go-round. We're going to have a new ROV, and we're going to hold them to making sure that election laws are followed and meaningful observation and engage the public. The process of counting ballots is a very public thing.
Right.
Once you separate those envelopes, there's no name attached. You can engage the public. You can have tons of volunteers. You don't have to treat them like they're the enemy. They are not.
Right.
You have a mix of everybody, a cross-section of your community. It's how you restore trust in your elections. We talked about that with Tom. Not one meeting, not two, not three, but at least four or five times, and yet it did not get done. And so very disappointed. On election day, I saw things, a variety of laws being violated, including the duplication process because of all these ballots that would not scan in the Canon scanners in the DR 2140.
And the ballots that didn't scan, because we had page A and page B, right? Or, you know, essentially page 1 and 2 and page 3 and 4, double-sided, but... So it was the second page that wasn't scanning correctly, and that is those are the local elections.
Right, and so those all had to go through. So then all of a sudden Runbeck comes up and says, we have a solution. I don't know what that solution is. I don't even know if it's certified. But they take these ballots that wouldn't scan. They run them through an electronic image machine, another scanner. It produces that image. And then it produces an electronic image, not a mirror image, but an electronic image. But they're missing entire marks from the voter.
Oh, my gosh.
And
making it worse.
And so while I'm watching it, it was happening very frequently. And, in fact, it got me concerned that I that afternoon I called up our CEO and said, Dave, you better come down to the ROV office. I want to show you something. And so we went to the duplication room.
Mm-hmm.
I could only take a look at duplication process number 4 because I can't see number 1, 2, or 3. So I can't see three-quarters of what's going on. I can only see one process.
And was that because the other people were doing those processes and they were...
No, they said stay outside. So I'm looking through a window into a room. You know, I don't have meaningful... I can't go up and look to, you know, I can't go right up next to the person to see what they're doing. It's too far away.
Oh, my gosh.
But I'm close enough on duplication station number 4 to see that they're missing votes. Now, the county workers that are there, they saw it, too, and they were correcting them the best that I could see.
Mm-hmm.
And when I brought the CEO down, he saw the same thing. He goes, yep, nope, you're right. There it is. There it is. And so what was happening was when this Runbeck scanning machine would duplicate the ballot, it would duplicate the ballot, and then it would make electronic image. What it was doing is it would not transfer the mark that where you had a check or an X or it was lightly marked in. It wouldn't do any of those. But then also others that were well marked in, it missed those too. And
oh my
I was
gosh.
Watching. And so I went down 6 times. Every time I went down, within 5 minutes, you're seeing less than that usually, you're seeing these mistakes happen. And happening over and over. Now, I saw that with my eyes. The ROV wasn't there at any of the times that I was there. We had county staff in the building knowing what was happening. They knew the mistakes that were happening. Yet they didn't inform the public. I informed the public on that. The ROV didn't inform the public. I had to let the public know that this duplication process is highly flawed. And these county workers now are going to have to be looking at tens of thousands of images and trying to make the correct the mistakes.
So, okay, it's junk in, junk out. If they're not processing them properly or the system isn't allowing them to do that and they're still attempting to process these things, why don't they just throw their hands up and say, wait a minute, something's wrong here, and let's get it fixed before
we
move on?
You know, again, Runbeck says they've got a solution for it, right? So everybody, and that's where our ballots are produced. Right, so they bring out another 100,000 ballots. So we already had 117,000 ballots.
Wait. They bring another 100,000 ballots for what?
For our race. So they brought in another 100,000 just to make sure they had enough to
remark. Is that what they're doing?
To duplicate, right? Because at least, you know, 45,000 weren't being able to scan. And so now you've got a tremendous number of ballots floating around. You've got ballots in this room. You've got ballots in that room. You've got ballots over here. You've got ballots down in a break room. You've got ballots.
So now we don't even know which ones are legitimate.
Well, it just confounds the problems that we had.
And what's the error? Okay, what's the error rate before you figure out that this is not working and that everything has to come to a screeching halt?
Well, for me, you know, let's back up a little bit. When we did the accuracy and logic test, that should have told you if you had any problems.
Okay.
They said everything was great. And so here comes 117,000 ballots. They start running them through and right off the bat. You know, a lot of them are not scanning.
If everything was great, why did they need those ballots?
Right. What happened in the accuracy and logic test? What was missed there
right. That
then caused this problem? And so the public has asked to see a review of the accuracy and logic test.
Okay.
They have not gotten that information.
Still, they still haven't gotten it.
Now, a lot of these things that we're talking about, there is a current lawsuit as we speak right now.
Here in Shasta County.
Here in Shasta County, Hobbs Ladd versus Shasta versus Tom Toller over these very issues.
And that's the one that just came out this last week.
That just came out, and I was asked to describe what I saw. So I have an under oath affidavit in that, along with 50-plus other people
okay. That
saw things. And you know, and there's some talk right now. There's going to be a special meeting on Tuesday, a closed session mm-hmm. about this issue. And two members of the election commission also had declarations in there as to what they saw. Now, there is never a time where you should not be honest.
Oh, absolutely.
If you saw something that was in violation of an election code, you should report it
mm-hmm.
In any manner that you can.
Right.
Now, the public has come to the Board of Supervisors and has been talking about these problems. They have come and asked the ROV. I have asked the ROV to fix these problems. And no corrective action happened. And so
Wow. You're
at a point where you have exhausted all other remedies. You have no other option. You've asked the board. You've asked the board to put pressure on the ROV. You've asked the ROV. You've asked U.S. Department of Justice to look at things. And so far to this date, no action. And so for the public, the suit is the only thing they have left.
Right.
And I don't like anybody suing Shasta County. That's only going to cost money. But when you're not following election code laws, and particularly with Tom Toller, he knew this before. We talked about these very issues prior about having a transparent election.
Yeah.
And that means so much. to be able to restore trust.
Right.
And these were the same problems I had with Kathy Allen, is she said, it's not my job to restore trust with the voters. Well, yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh.
If the public does not trust the process, we're losing trust with the public. There
right.
should not be that. You can engage the public. Tom knew that. Allen knew that. Francescott knew that. And yet they treated the public as if we were
enemy number one.
Where they called DOJ on us. How crazy is that? It's just completely backwards. So that department is one that is ripe for a serious house cleaning, to be honest. And
a forensic audit would certainly do a little bit of cleaning there. And I've been barking that one for years. I've asked, I don't know, countless people coming and talking to us about running for different positions within the county. I heard Kathy Darling Allen years ago talking about stuff. I asked for a forensic audit. She, oh, no, we can't do that. And then Cominti, when he came to our Patriot groups and talking about running and whatnot, I asked him about forensic audits. Didn't even know what they were. So, I mean, all these people that, you know, I've talked to over and over and over again, why aren't we doing a forensic audit? You don't have to do it on the entire county all at once, but you certainly need to step up and start doing it somewhere, and this would be a great place to start.
You know, I remember a conversation I had with candidate Kellstrom at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He managed to get through the primary and in 2022,
right.
So did candidate Cry. And so I called Chris Kellstrom a few days after that, or a week after that, and I said, "All right, let's get back on that horse. Let's start fundraising. Right, we've got to win this thing in the fall." And he goes, "What's the point? They're just going to cheat again." And that kind of hit me, and it's like, "Yeah, we haven't fixed it. We haven't fixed the cheating yet, but we can't stop trying.
Right?
We're not doing anything wrong here. It's somebody, some group, some individuals are doing something wrong, but we're not."
Just think how bad it would be if the people that are trying to get things cleaned up weren't even active in trying to get this cleaned up. Just think how bad it would be, or how bad it was.
The pattern that I've seen, and again, because I've ran many races, I've helped with many races.
Right.
I've seen, and when you know what a candidate does, and you know what your opponent does, you know what kind of funds you've raised and what they've raised.
Right.
You know how well they debate and the issues, and you know your opponent's debating capabilities and issues, and then then the results don't match.
Right.
And you're just scratching your head saying, you know, something's not right here, right? It's just a gut feeling, but it's based on the work that we did.
Well, and that's just the thing. The last couple of elections, that's exactly what's happened. You know, you look at the results of the last couple of elections. Why did those results come out that way?
Well, and we see a pattern where it appears that they're not cheating in some races and some entire categories, and then others they do.
Right.
And it's not a pattern that is exact every time.
Mm-hmm.
They can cheat if they want to. They don't have to cheat if they don't think they need to.
Well, and it depends on the district, too.
Right.
They can massage those into cheating a little bit more so in one or the other than...
And when you take a look at the voter rolls from the Secretary of State, if you really do a deep dive on that,
mm-hmm.
and take a look at the statistics from every county for the last 20 years, you will see patterns there that cannot, impossible, that happened. They're totally impossible.
Like identical number percentages?
Right.
Down to the 100%?
Right. I mean, it's,
how does that work?
I mean, if that doesn't do it for you, I don't know what. I mean,
And that's what we had here in Shasta County.
Correct.
Yeah. So that just tells you it's all jacked up.
You know, and when we went to hand counting, when we were able to get rid of the Dominion voting machine and go to a hand count, and then Kathy Allen quickly gets down to Sacramento, finds a former ROV assemblywoman, mm-hmm. and passes 969 saying you can't, then I knew they were crooked.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't matter. What their energy should be is getting the vote count right, not how you do it.
Right.
And each county should be allowed to do that the way that works best for that county.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a small county. We can engage the public. We have hundreds of volunteers
right.
that would love to take part of the election process. And they're being denied that.
Absolutely.
And the legislature passes this bogus assembly bill that's now law.
Mm-hmm.
And the ROV, and so there's been some talk about, can you hand count or can you not? And the public can't force the issue, but the ROV can count the ballots
right
by hand. And the 1% hand tally, you can do more. And so with the right ROV...
It was a minimum of 1%, right?
Minimum, but it
but no maximum. Right? There you go.
And in fact, Joanna Franciscott did that on the Kevin Cry recall.
She, in the middle of the race.
Right. Before it was even done, she did a full count.
Right. Right.
So she already proved you can do it. So it's
right
up to the ROV. Now, we've asked Thomas to do it, but he hasn't done it, and he won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ability is there. So when people say you can't hand count, it's not really true. The ROV can. The
right
public is asking for it, but it hasn't gotten done. And in the future, I think that's going to be a great tool. And someday, this is going to get fixed. And
well, I hope sooner than later, because, good God, how much more can we take?
Well, we're aware of the problems now. Now, We know with the Secretary of State, we know, they know. So we're all getting, you know, to know the different processes. You can cheat a variety of different ways. And when I first started working with Jovan Pulitzer, in Arizona, this is exactly what he was saying, you know, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he started showing us, the various ways that people cheat. Now, why, at the very first, I didn't think they were going to cheat in Shasta County. It's a small county. You know, mm-hmm, it wouldn't really matter. Not enough numbers here matter.
Right.
But elections are won at the county level across the entire nation.
That's right.
And if you don't fix one county, you've fixed none.
Well, what about, you know, even printing the ballots locally?
Right.
That way you have, I guess, control over, you know, the quality of them, making sure that they work properly. And any one of the print shops would be happy to do that, knowing that, you know, they're going to, you know, it puts them on the map too. You know, it
right
helps them, but we have control locally, and it'll probably be more affordable.
Well, and at least get the ballots back to Northern California. There's nobody that's certified right now. I would like to see if some printing outfit in Shasta County would get certified so we can do that. That would be a huge improvement. But certainly ordering them up out of state is not right.
Well, yeah, when they're coming from Maricopa County,
right,
where all the garbage is happening in Arizona, good grief. But how much more do you have to see to understand that, you know, it's bad all the way around?
Well, Thomas Toller went down there, and he went to that county, and he went to Runbeck to see how the sausage was made, was
mm-hmm
his exact words. Well, he might not have been looking closely enough.
Well, clearly. Wow. Okay, well, we've got about 3 minutes left, so what else do you think needs to be shared with the viewing or listening audience?
Well, again, you know, I've given a bit of a timeline as to some of the things that have happened,
mm-hmm,
and why things happened. And, you know, we don't know all the details, obviously, but
right
we get different bits and pieces from various people.
Which is really scary, because what you've told us has been frustrating. Just think of the stuff we don't know.
Correct. And there's some other individuals. As I come back in the months ahead, we'll be talking about some other individuals at the county that are elected positions, and we'll be talking about those more in the future and some of the things that have been happening there. So I'm excited about exposing that as well.
Okay.
And again, basing it on facts, not okay just opinions. And we'll go over those facts.
So we can't talk about any of those yet.
Well, we can, but I'm going to wait a little bit.
Okay.
As things are evolving and
okay
things are playing out. And, you know, but these are kinds of things that need to happen. When you bring in some outside eyeballs,
mm-hmm,
you can kind of clean house. And that's,
yeah,
what's happened in Shasta County over these last several years. It took a new board to do that. I was part of that. I'm proud to be a part of that. And now Chair Cry, Supervisor Kellstrom, Supervisor Harmon will carry that on. The others can join if they want. That's up to them. But we have a better county than we had,
mm-hmm,
and now we still have a few loose ends to tie up. And again, the ROV is one of those that's, to me, none of this stuff matters if we don't have fair elections.
Absolutely.
And we need super transparency. We're still fighting a system that's still going to be there.
Right.
But without an ROV that's got your back, that's really following the law, having meaningful observation, trusting the public,
mm-hmm,
we're not going to go down that path to having a fair election. And so you shine light on something, and eventually you'll get the truth.
There you go. All right. Well, I want to thank you and your beautiful bride, Lori, for coming in and hanging out with us today. Appreciate it. And I want to.
Thanks for having us.
There you go. Anytime, man. Just if you're listening out there and you want to share this radio show with everybody, let them know. They can go to KCNR1460.com and look up Jefferson State of Mind, and you can listen to it 24/7 because all of our shows are archived. All right, the time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve LA. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind. You don't know us. You have no clue. Still, you're telling us what to do.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.